Amen. We're excited to have with us Dr. Bill Rice III, and just an honor to have him with us, and Mrs. Rice also. Thank you so much. Brother, correct me. I think it's just about 70 years the ranch has been operating. Am I right? Yeah, pretty close to 70 years Bill Rice Ranch has been operating. And I have no idea. Countless thousands of young people have been there, and deaf young people, as you saw in the video. And it is a wonderful ministry. There's a lot of things I could say about Dr. Bill Rice. I don't want to take his time. I want him to have freedom to preach. But I will say this. He's the only preacher we've ever had here that I can say this about. His mother conducted meetings here. She did. Dr. Kathy Rice, Dr. Bill's mother, in 1985, and then again 1995, she came here and held a ladies' retreat. And she's actually, it was in the other building then, but she, from this pulpit, she spoke in the pulpit here. Now, that was unusual for her, I think, but she didn't preach, but she told the story of the Bill Rice Ranch from this pulpit. And so there's the only preacher we've had that I can say, well, your mother spoke here. So, but that was an honor, and what a gracious lady she was. Dr. Bill Rice, I first heard him, I think, back about 1971, and many, many times since then. And we're so privileged to have you with us tonight. Please, brother, come and preach to us.
Philippians chapter 4. We're really glad to see you people here tonight. God bless you. I think the last time Mary and I, when we were here, was on a Wednesday. And so I spoke from down there, and people were on the right side. But it's good to see other people and more people, and good to have you here on this Sunday night. How many of you folks are like Mary and I? You may have been here before. We have. This may be your first time, but you're not a member. So technically, you're a guest. How many of you are like us? Can I see your hand? Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming, and we hope you'll come back. I want you to meet Mary. Pal, would you stand up so I can meet you? This is my wife, Mary. We have three children. The youngest is Wren, and she and Nathan have three children. And then the middle one is Wendy, and she and Lee have three children. And then the oldest is Will, and Will and Cena have three children. Will had a procedure done on his heart last summer. And so a couple have asked me about that. He had problems. Actually, it was last year ago, December, or the 1st of January, and they found out he had a hole in his heart, which is not uncommon. But many people have a hole in their heart, and nothing bothers them from it. But in Will's case, he had a very mild stroke from which he's had no repercussions. And as far as we know, he's fully recouped from the procedure they did on his heart. He's doing well. And he's preaching tonight in Cooper City. So he's preaching there. He preached for Brother Price this morning. And I was in Cooper City this morning. Then I'm here tonight. And he's in Cooper City. Tomorrow, he heads for Stark, which is in North Florida. That's where the pen is. So hopefully you've never been there. That's where the state pen is. And he's not going to prison. He's going to be preaching in a church there with a dear brother that's a friend of the ranch. And then he heads on back to Tennessee, and he begins a revival in our home church next Sunday. So he begins a revival. Mary and I, excuse me, will be going to Bradenton, or actually Brandon, and then we go to Land O'Lakes, and then we go to Spring Hill. I think that's all of them. And then we leave and head for Texas. And we'll be on the 7th of March. We have our first meeting in Texas. And so we've been here in the States since the 2nd of January. Smart guy, don't you think? We've been here. So they tell me they've had terrible weather in Tennessee, but I wouldn't know. I've been down here, and I've been, you know, texting back and saying, pray for us. The air conditioning can't keep up with the weather, things like that. to encourage the people back in Tennessee. But we're doing fine. And Bill Rice Ranch began in 1953 because of a burden my parents had for those who were deaf. My sister is deaf, and deafness is an educational handicap. If you were crippled, you could come to this service, be fine. If you were blind, you could come to this service, understand everything. If you were educably slow, you could benefit in this service. But if you're deaf, the service wouldn't mean anything to you. Unless somebody who loved the Lord and loved you interpreted the service through sign language so that you could understand it. So my parents were interested that deaf be able to hear the gospel. So in 1950, my dad was in a revival in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's right in the center of the state, 30 miles south of Nashville. And while there, he found some property, 900 acres. My dad bought the original 900 acres. Are you ready for this? For 20 bucks an acre. Wow. And I would be a millionaire if I had inherited that, but I haven't. So it all belongs now to Bill Rice Ranch. There's 1,300 acres. And we have camps for hearing young people every summer and for families and for deaf. We have about 4,000 campers a summer, 250 of which are deaf. And the deaf come free. They come free to them, free of charge, through the campership program. You know, a scholarship is when you get help for school. Well, a campership is when you get help for camp. So the campership fund is provided by people all over this country. In fact, for I guess 12, 15 years now, Mary and I have been coming to Florida for 2 months, and the offerings in the churches where we minister all go to the ranch. Pastor very graciously said to me, Knight, we'd like to have an offering for the ranch and we'd like to give you something, but we don't take anything. Our way is already covered. God's people have helped with that. And so everything that you give goes to Bill Rice Ranch Campership Fund. Now, one campership for one deaf teenager is $250, but the wonderful thing about the campership fund is if you give $250 or if you give $2.50, it all goes to the campership fund, so you can actually help make it possible for a deaf teenager to come to the ranch when you give to the campership fund. So I hope you'll prayerfully consider it. Maybe you'd like to give an entire campership. That would be $250. Maybe you'd like to give to the campership fund, and that would be 36 cents. Whatever you do, it'll all go to help make it possible for deaf young people to come to the ranch. We have to raise about $50,000 a year for the deaf camperships. It'd be nice if we could raise all that tonight. So it would be nice. Maybe we could sell a building here at the church. I'm not sure. I'm being silly. Whatever you give will be a help, and we thank you for it. You got Philippians chapter 4. Look down at verse 19. I hope I gave you the right verse. Ah, I did. That's good. Verse 19. If you don't mind, out of respect to the scripture, let's just stand as we read, all right? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Read it with me, will you? I'll give the reference, and let's all just read it together. Okay, here we go. Philippians 4:19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Father, thank you for giving us this truth and help us to learn from it tonight. Help us to see what you've said in order that we may live in light of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now the apostle wrote these words to the church at Philippi, and he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now often we apply that to us, and you can if you realize what it meant to the church at Philippi. In other words, God did not make a general promise that he would always supply every believer's need. This was written to a specific church, and it was a giving church. The apostle says earlier in the chapter, you know, when I first began in the ministry, nobody helped concerning giving and receiving, but you people, and you helped. And so he's saying basically, since you are a giving church, my God will supply all your needs. It makes me think of Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in, you know the next word? Well-doing. Doing good things. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now somebody says, if you do what's wrong, you're going to reap the consequences. Well, that's true, but that's not what Galatians 6 is saying. It's saying if you do what's right, you'll reap the consequences. So this verse is written to a giving church. Second thing I want to say about this verse, just kind of in introduction, is that the apostle says by inspiration, my God will supply all your needs. Now, sometimes people have said, well, God has promised to supply our needs, but not our wants. Have you ever heard that? People say, God's not a Santa Claus. You can't just go to God and ask for what you want and expect God to give it. But that is completely wrong. The psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires. Very good. Desires of your heart. He didn't say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the needs that thou hast. Didn't say that. No. He said, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your desires. Now, the key is wanting for you what God wants for you. And you can expect God to provide that. When you delight in the Lord, when you love God, when what he says and does is uppermost in your mind and thinking, you can have your needs met. Because you're not any more concerned about your genuine needs than God is. You're not any more concerned about your wants than God is. God wants you to want correctly. And you can do that. And you can have your wants met. So the writer here by inspiration says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, there are 3 points here. And you say, Brother Rice, why are there 3 points? Because I'm a Baptist preacher and you have to have 3 points. All right. But they're easy to remember because they're all in the verse. My God, your needs, his riches. So let's look at those 3 things quickly. All right, I love this. My God. When the apostle says, but my God, he doesn't mean the God that I own. He doesn't mean the God that belongs singularly to me. When he says, my God, he means the God with whom I have a personal relationship. Now, this is a wonderful thing. God can be your God, and that's what he intends. God intends a personal relationship with you, something that's special, something that is specific. You know, God is all-powerful. We know that. We say he's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. We know that. We say he's omniscient. So what is there about you that God does not know? Nothing. God knows everything about you. That's kind of frightening, isn't it? Now, here's the wonderful truth. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3, you can know that God loves you knowing you. There's not a thing hidden from God. You haven't snowed God. God knows you. Have you ever heard a preacher say this? You know, you can't hide anything from God. God knows what you think. God knows what you say. God knows everything that you do. You can't hide anything from God. And it's a frightening thought. And that's true, by the way. You can't hide anything from God. But there is another side to that, and that is that God is personal. In other words, you're not a number to God. You're not a name to God. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. And God is concerned about you. We went to lunch, Mary and I. Let me see, it was yesterday. And the lady said, what are you ordering? Oh, it's 2 days ago. And so we told her, you know, you go up in your order. And she said, what's your name? And I said, you didn't recognize me? She said, well, no, I didn't. Well, of course, I was just teasing. Obviously, she did. There's no reason she should have recognized me. But I love doing that. I love, you know, now what name should I use? And then you say, you didn't recognize me. And they say, oh, my goodness, I probably should have recognized this guy. Well, no, you shouldn't recognize me. But Bill, the name we gave her, means nothing to her. Except that he paid, what would it be, $14 for two hamburgers, fries, and Cokes or whatever. But it doesn't mean anything. And so when she says, Bill, I could go up, Mary could go up, if the pastor was there, he could go up, anybody could get my food, nobody would know, would they? God not only knows your name, he knows you. So that the apostle here says, my God. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? My God. And when he's talking about my God, he's talking about my God and my needs. So that's number two. My God shall supply all your need. Now, suppose I said, does anybody here tonight in this service have any needs? Wouldn't that be a dumb question? That's like saying, does anybody here in this service enjoy breathing? Most of us do, all right. Does anybody here enjoy eating or drinking water? Well, I would say yes, most of us do. So, does anybody here have needs? Now, we often think of this in light of financial needs. And we think of that because he says, according to his riches. And so I can understand that. But obviously, our needs are larger than simply finances, are they not? Health, friendship, burdens because of sickness, or because of the lack of health. So all of us have needs, don't we? But forgive me, my God can supply them. I can't. You know, have you ever had a friend that was sick and you thought to yourself, maybe you even said it to your friend, I wish it was me instead of you. Have you ever thought that or said that? Well, it certainly is a wonderful thing to think, but you can't do anything about it. If he's sick and you're healthy, you can't make you sick and him healthy. Now, you might can make you sick. I don't know about that. You might can do that. But you can't transfer his lack of health for the health that you may enjoy. You following this? You can't do that, but God can. God can take care of sickness. God can take care of heartaches. God can take care of financial needs. God can take care of marriages. God can take care of kids. God can take care of parents. God can take care of a country. Boy, that's kind of good news, isn't it, in this day and time? I told people, I was teasing again. I do that occasionally, but anyway, I was teasing in this church, and I said, you know, I've been voted America's best-looking evangelist. Now, you shouldn't have laughed at that, people. That was the wrong time to laugh. And I said, no, it was legitimate. I said, I borrowed a voting machine from President Biden, and I did come out being America's best-looking evangelist. Okay, so we've been under challenges in this country for some time, haven't we? Mm-hmm. All right, but there's a God in heaven. You ought to remember that. So if something politically doesn't turn out the way you want it, remember there's a God in heaven. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. So it's my God, your needs, number three, his riches. This is my favorite part of this. God does not supply our needs according to our needs. He supplies our needs according to his riches. Now that's a big difference, and it's important. For example, Mary and I have 9 grandchildren. I don't have any pictures of our grandchildren, but Mary does on her phone. Mary has, 6,000 or 7,000 pictures of our grandkids on her phone. So after the service, if you'll go up to Mary, you can see pictures of our grandkids. Okay, our grandkids range in age from 23, did I get that right, pal? Down to 13? Wow, our youngest is 13, that's hard to believe. My son, Will, is 49. It's a good thing I was only 10 when he was born. But at any rate, okay, so suppose I said to Weston, he's here in South Florida, he's 17, he's with his parents, they're over at Cooper City tonight. Suppose I said to Weston, hey, what you doing? And he's saying, well, after the service, we're gonna go get some ice cream. Would you mind, Daddy Man? That's what they call me, Daddy Man. I know you're saying, why did they call you Daddy Man? Because we didn't leave it up to the grandkids to decide what they would call us. I didn't want to be called Poopsie or something like that. So the name is Daddy Man. All right, so suppose you said, Daddy Man, would you mind getting me an ice cream cone? They're $3.50. Okay, now, if I answered Weston's need according to his need, I would give him how much? The cone is $3.50. So if I answered his need according to his need, I would give him how much? $3.50. But I, you didn't know this, but I'm really quite wealthy. I am kin, and I don't mean to be irreverent to a person that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And this is true, Mary and I are not in debt, so I wouldn't be considered rich, but I can eat every day, can you? All right, and so, and Mary and I have some money in the bank. I think we checked last week, and we had over $4 in the bank just last week, so who knows what we'll have this week with the interest accruing, probably $4. But at any rate, let's say I had $50 in the bank. We actually do have more than that. Some of you look like Brother Rice. Do we need to get you some supper? All right, no, we're fine. All right. So suppose, let's say I have $50 in the bank. If I give Weston $3.50, I am giving to him according to his need. But if I gave to him according to my riches, he would get what? $50. There's a big difference. Look, God does not provide our needs according to our needs. He provides our needs according to his riches. So what is it you need? If you are a giving person, you will reap what you sow. And if you sow generosity, you will reap in kind, and you will reap according to God's riches. Now, if you and I stopped and thought about it for a minute, wouldn't all of us say we have already been given so much in accordance to God's riches? Amen. Just think of that for a second. Think, first of all, obviously about salvation. You know, it was God's riches in Christ that provided for me eternal life. So my need was great, but his riches are greater. You eat 3 times a day. Do you know most of the people on this planet do not? Did you know that? Have you ever been on a diet? Haven't most of us been on a diet? If you're not on a diet, somebody near and dear to you will say, you need to be on a diet, so you might as well be on one anyway. Do they diet in Africa? Do they diet in India? Now, I don't know in every case, but I would assume not, wouldn't you? Hasn't God been good to us? You know, what does the word fellowship mean in a Baptist church? Food. If I say, we're going to have fellowship tonight after the service, it would be in the other building. Okay, why in the other building? Well, I'm assuming, is there a kitchen over there? No. Where's the kitchen? Okay. If I said, after the service tonight, there's going to be a fellowship, it would be down at the restaurant. That's what the pastor said. Well, isn't that true? If I said, hey, why don't we just get together at, what is the name of this place? Not Polo Loco, the place up there on Congress, whatever. Do you remember the name of it, pal? We've eaten, there's a chicken place. Wow, what is it? Tropical something. Have you ever been there? Okay. Let's have a fellowship after the service down at Tropical whatever. I'm not saying the name right, but you know what I'm talking about, right? All right. Do you know Baptists eat for fun? Do you know there are people on this planet tonight who don't eat for fun? They eat so they won't die. How long has it been since you prayed the prayer Jesus encouraged us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't even think of that. How long has it been since you said to yourself, I wonder if I'll be able to eat tomorrow? You know, I'm 78. I've never asked that question in my life, not once. And I've never asked it primarily because of God's blessings on this country and on my family and on people that I know and love. Hasn't God been good to us? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God, your needs, his riches. We ought to live in light of that, don't you think? And don't you think that the fear of, oh my goodness, I need this, and how am I going to meet that, and what's going to happen here, and what about my friends? Don't you think we ought just turn to the Lord and say, my God, my needs, your riches. It works because it's in the Bible, and it's what the scripture clearly teaches. Let's bow, please, for prayer. And we're not going to have any music for a few minutes, but let me ask a question. Our heads are bowed, so you won't be embarrassed. I'm not going to point anybody out at all. I'm going to ask the pastor to stand with me, if you would. All right? And let me just ask a question. I wonder if you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Bill, as we were looking at Philippians 4:19, God spoke to my heart about trusting him for my needs and about living the kind of life that would reap for me blessings. And you just say, you know, Brother Bill, as we looked at Philippians 4:19, God spoke to my heart about trusting God and providing my needs according to his riches. And I just want to ask the Lord tonight to help me to do that, to help me to walk out of this place trusting him for my needs provided by his riches. And you'd say, Brother Bill and Pastor, pray with me and for me in this. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated right now until I see it? Then you can take it down. I just need to remember that my needs can be provided by a wonderful God, and I want to trust him for that and for my needs. Anybody else, just slip a hand up until I see it. God bless you. Good. Yes. All right. Anyone else? Okay. You want to look this way? You want to look this way? Everybody look right here. Want to look right this way? Let me tell you what let's do. Let's have prayer. I'm going to pray in a moment. When I pray, don't listen to me pray. You just pray. Thank God for his provision and ask him to encourage you to trust him for your needs. Would that make sense? Okay. You just pray that, and then When I'm finished praying, the pastor will come and close the service as he sees fit. Let's bow together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the wonderful promise that you will provide our needs according to your riches, and help us to live in light of that. Help us to live not in fright or in fear or in worry, but help us to trust you for the needs and even the wants that we face in our lives, I pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. As we sing this hymn, if the Lord spoke to your heart, if you raised your hand a moment ago, maybe you didn't, but the Lord's working in your heart. He's spoken to you, as Dr. Bill has indicated, about the Lord supplying your needs, or maybe there's another spiritual need in your life. Maybe there's somebody here who doesn't have the assurance of their salvation. You don't know for sure that your soul is saved. Maybe there's somebody listening tonight who's not here physically present in that situation. Or it could be that God's dealing with you about something else. Often people come to a service like this and they hear a wonderful sermon like we've just heard, but the Lord's been speaking to them about something the preacher didn't say, but you know God's dealing with you. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond. So we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a hymn. If God's spoken to your heart, you need to respond. I'm going to invite you to do a couple of things. You can certainly make a decision right where you are. There's no doubt about that. But if you'd like to come to the front and pray, or you'd like someone to pray with you, we invite you to come and meet us right down front here. We'll be glad to take the time to be with you. If you need to talk with somebody, there's a spiritual need, you need to discuss it, please remain after the service. We'll be happy to spend time with you. But let's stand right now, and we're going to be singing the simple song, Have Thine Own Way, just a verse or two. And if God's spoken to your heart, you need to make a decision. Now would be the time to make it. You prayed the prayer about God meeting your needs and you're trusting the Lord, or there's something else here that the Lord's talking to you about. Just let the Lord have his own way. Can we sing together? You respond. We'll be happy to meet you if you'll come.
Have thine own way.